Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now for something completely different. This is Wretched Radio. Think for a moment about how many moments your church spends in prayer Sunday morning. How many minutes? How many seconds I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers a prayer that was offered at the church of one Tim Chalet. Apparently he's French and he's kind of taken on these airs lately. So Tim Chalet offered up the prayer that was offered up at his church, Grace Fellowship Church in Canada, and I thought this could be helpful for us for two reasons. Number one, pastoral prayers used to be well-crafted, well-considered offerings to God on behalf of the congregation led by the pastor. You're going to hear that. This prayer, it reads like a book. It reads like a man who has put some time into the prayer. And there's nothing wrong with somebody saying, you know, do you mind if we pray? And then, of course, we tend to begin each prayer the same way, don't we? Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. And then off to the races you go because you've been able to think through what's coming next. And we use the traditional place holder. Lord, thank you for this day. Maybe, just maybe, we can consider doing better than that when we pray. Prayer used to be not the centerpiece of a Protestant church service, but it was a big deal. And increasingly these days, if not predominantly these days, you see people in church praying very little. And they're not hearing prayers that are very thoughtful. You are going to hear that. Second lesson from this prayer, it is a call to not divide over something like this. Was just reading an article. Todd, that's rather vague. Yep, that's my source. I was reading an article, and pastors were talking about the strain and the difficulty of churches dividing because of COVID issues. To stay open, to not stay open, what should... Wait a second. Hold on. I've got it right here. That's what I meant to say. I received an email from John in Canada. Well, this is, at least we've got a Canadian theme going on. He wrote this. This is the state. Close enough, it's Australia. Okay, look. I have to be transparent about two things right now. Yes. I'm on medication. But it's legal. It's just because, this tooth. It's not the oxy that they prescribed. Can't do that. It's just a little too scary for me. Last night on PBS, did I just say that out loud? Last night on PBS was watching. It's just nice to watch stuff that isn't just dreadful and thin and forced and, sorry, but oh so Americanized. In Appalachia, they were showing how music factories are being opened up. One in particular was a high school that was now making it's an instrument that most of us aren't aware of. It's rather wide, probably about 2-3 feet wide. It has four hearts on it, and you strum it. It is a stringed instrument that is uniquely Appalachian, and it's putting people to work, and it's helping people who couldn't get a job because of the opioid scourge in the Appalachian areas. There were people who started taking it, got hooked on it, it became a thing, then they ended up, of course, getting in trouble with the law, they get out, and how do you find a job in an area that doesn't have many jobs when you have got yourself a felony? And so they've started up these music factories. It was fascinating, but I was also struck by the opioid scourge, how pervasive it is that these prescribed medications are being overprescribed, and they're apparently being produced somewhere enough so that I think it's millions of Americans who have been or are hooked on opioids. I don't want to be that guy. Second confession that I have to make to you, I could drool at any moment. It's true. It's not from the ibuprofen I'm taking.
Well, I was going to say, you just have an excuse now.
Now, sometimes I drool. There are some of us who produce a little bit more saliva than the rest of us. Do you have a shooter in your mouth? I gave this to my eldest daughter. One day she said to me, "Did you see that? It just shot right out of my mouth, and I didn't even try." And it's like, "Yeah, dear, you got that from me. What is that all about? I've got a flipper in my mouth. It's this foreign object shoved into the hole where they took the tooth, and it's a little difficult to get used to." Friel, you're whining about your job, and all you do is talk. That's right. It is a gift to be able to complain about virtually everything. Let's get to the pastoral prayer from Tim Challies, a call for unity, because so many pastors are experiencing the pain of their congregations being ripped asunder. You use that word in ecclesiastical context because it just sounds more King Jamesy, doesn't it? Churches are dividing. People are leaving. I know. I truly understand two deep sentiments that we all have. This is really personal because we are talking about personal things here. We're talking about my body and how it is being controlled and what the authorities are telling me to do with it. I get that. Second, I understand that we're weary from this. It has been going on these 15 days. I've never experienced a longer 15 days. Okay, I take that back. Studying Hebrew, that was the longest period ever. A 50-minute class could feel like 20 years. We are seeing churches that are dividing, and my encouragement would be, I know that there can be exceptions to this. I truly understand, but please be slow in leaving your church. Don't dash to the door just because of this. I get it. I understand. But our unity has to be deeper than that, doesn't it? That's something that is social, that is something that is not theological per se, is causing division. From Grace Fellowship Church, this season of life, this is the pastor's prayer, has shown us ways we are different from each other in categories we rarely considered before. Some of us think the government has acted in folly. Others think it has done well. Some of us think vaccines are dangerous. Others think they are a gift. Some of us fear coming to church. Others wish we could sit shoulder to shoulder when we do. And these strong differences of opinion on important matters could lead us to grow suspicious of one another. That's an interesting word choice, isn't it? To avoid fellow members with whom we disagree, or even to judge them in our hearts. Oh Lord, make it so the most important thing in the world to us is to do what we are certain is absolutely true. Settle our eyes on the simplest of your commands and send your Spirit to empower our faithful obedience to them. That's page one. This is a 3-page prayer. Yes, I've added it to a degree. By your grace, let us love one another with the brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Bible verses in parentheses. Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. This is a litany of verses that encourage us to treat each other in a very grace-filled way. Listen for all of the verses. That we would live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. Agree with one another and live in peace so that the God of love and peace will be with us, 2 Corinthians 13. Greet one another with true love, 2 Corinthians 13 again. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us, Romans 15:7. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Behave with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, Ephesians 4:2. Be kind to one another and tenderhearted, Ephesians 4:32. Encourage one another and build one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, Ephesians 5:21. And it goes on for another paragraph, Bible verse after Bible verse, admonishing us, hey, be slow to get angry with one another. Believe me, if you and I ever had lunch together, which, well, some of us will actually tomorrow when I'm in Greenville, I'm hoping, Jimmy, that I can have that tin cup that goes around my head to fashion it underneath my jaw.
They're going
to
need it.
It gets a little messy there.
Yeah, I sat across from you at lunch yesterday.
It was a little sloppy, and I apologize for that. We're going to be having lunch together, and if we were ever chatting about these issues, oh, strong opinion about this stuff? Absolutely. But is this a subject that should cause so much division? And the answer is absolutely not. Please be slow to go. This is Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini Master Seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
I know you didn't think we could do it, but hey, we did, and we've over-delivered on Road Trip to Truth Season 2. It's here now, and it's on sale at roadtriptotruth.org or wretched.org/roadtrip. Don't miss out on all new topics and new experts with, of course, the same great host, John Fabares. Road Trip to Truth Season 2 and all of our resources are made possible by the support of our gospel partners. If you're a gospel partner already, we want to say thank you. Your generous gifts have made it possible for Wretched, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, our drive-by series, or our new upcoming television series, Transform, to be created and reach millions of people all over the world. Thank you so much to our gospel partners. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? Just visit wretched.org/donate to find out how you can support our goal in reaching the world with the gospel. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You are a pro-life Christian, which is redundant, who happens to be frugal, which is unnecessary to point out because that's what we Christians are, frugal, and you would like to support a life ministry that stewards your money well. Some great news from Preborn Ministries. They have saved 169,000 babies' lives. What is their secret? Ultrasounds. 80% of the time a woman sees her baby, she chooses life. Right now, Preborn has a matching grant. $28 per ultrasound turns into two ultrasounds. Or for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds. But because of the match, you'll be saving 10 babies. The ideal time for you to support a life ministry who's going to steward your money well. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or visit preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Today's numbers are 7, 38, and 55. No, this is not the lottery. This is Wretched Radio. Have you ever heard about the 7, 38, 55 rule of communication? No. We do not take our marching orders as to the content of the Christian speech, but we maybe can learn a little something that actually, I think, reflects biblically how we are to talk with one another. In the 1970s, a professor by the name of Alan Mehrabian proposed the 7-38-55 rule. Okay, Albert needs a publicist. He should have maybe just fudged the numbers a little bit, you know, just making it a little bit easier. Like, you know, the 10. No, it shouldn't be 10-40. The number should have been easier is my point. Instead of 7-38-55, who's going to remember that? When we communicate our likes and dislikes, the listener's acceptance of our communication will depend. You want to hear this, don't you? You want to be persuasive. Don't you? You want your children to hear wise words from you. You want the person to whom you are witnessing to hear you and receive what it is that you have to say. And the 7-38-55 rule of communication might help us. So the listener's acceptance of our communication will depend 7% on our words. That's fascinating. Now, we know it is the power of God's word that saves. But God has also chosen to use human instruments to deliver his message. And that's why we are regularly admonished. Hey, watch your behavior. Watch how you respond, because people are watching. Those people, they used to be lost just like you. So watch your behavior so that people see it and get saved. Make sure that your words are sprinkled with salt, that they are words that are encouraging, helpful, positive. What is the content of your speech? Is it 7-38-55? 7%, according to this fellow, it's 7% depend on our words for people receiving our message, 38% on our tone of voice, and 55% on our facial expressions and body language. Now, I'll be honest, I don't think those numbers are right, especially when it comes to sharing God's word. But let's be honest, we all receive things better delivered a certain way. I could say to you, God loves you. And you would go, yeah, that's right. I'm in Christ. God loves me. I could say it another way. God loves you, and you're going to feel that. I could say it another way. God loves you, and you'd receive that differently too. Our tone is crucial. Even how we comport ourselves is important, which, just as an aside, which is really what this article tends to go after, consider if there's any truth to this, even though I think the numbers are off, I do think that there is something that we can learn from this. Body language and tone are big deals. Consider your text machine. How can you convey all of that via text? I don't know about you, but I have learned the texting lesson. I was too quick to fire off a text, too quick. Don't even take the time to read it. And that's why you have to use spell check. And that's why you have to send the next text that corrects the word that you just biffed. We just don't have time for that. What are we communicating? So from the article, for whatever this is worth, communicating by email or text is the least costly form of communication. I don't have to be open. I don't have to open up my expressions or even my tone of voice to your scrutiny. But I am now 93% open to being misunderstood. You have only my bare words, unqualified, unenhanced, and uncorrected by my nonverbal communication. And millennials prefer this form of communication. In fact, somebody did a study because apparently somebody has too much funding that millennials, they don't like it when you call. And if you're going to insist on calling, at least send me a text first to know that it's coming. And that's our world. We communicate a lot electronically, an encouragement to maybe just slow down and think through the words that we are sharing. I've learned that the hard way. I used to send more quips, jokes, believe it or not, sarcasm via text. And I stopped doing it because I didn't have the skill to be able to convey, I'm just kidding. And I was finding people are like, oh, I'm really sorry that I offended you. No, it was just a joke. Just a word to the wise, but let's apply it now to our church context, to the familial context. How we're communicating with one another, speaking truth in love. I would suggest to you, there are many, but it is a need of the day. The tone and the language that we use to discuss these issues that are of importance, but not preeminent significance. The issues of government these days, the issues of COVID these days, how they're reaching into the church, all of those things, they are not small deals. But unless it rises to the level of theological, maybe when we discuss these issues, we need to remember if we're trying to persuade, how we deliver it is crucial. So just pick your side. Jimmy, just make something. We're both making this up because we've never disclosed here what we feel about anything because you don't need medical advice from two knuckleheads. So, Jimmy,
yes.
Hey, good to see you Sunday. You've been gone for a long time.
Yeah, I know. I was scared.
Sorry, that wasn't in the script. Scared?
Yeah.
What are you afraid of? Are you kidding me? Haven't you read the reports and the studies on the...
I'm scared of the COVID.
Yeah, and away we launch at one another, and we get very suspicious of one another and can't understand why this guy who I thought was a Christian, well, maybe isn't. How do we do this? This article and this professor doesn't have a means to do it other than the incentive of you might be more persuasive in your speech if you learn how to talk nice and have facial expressions that look like this. And you can find those YouTube videos. For some reason, they pop up in my feed. I never watch them. Friel, that's obvious. Here's 5 hacks to persuade people. Here's 7 signs that somebody, all of those things you can find, but they can't tell you the why. Why should I be patient with scaredy pants Jimmy? Well, because I don't look me in the eyes because this will be awkward. Because I love him. Don't we love one another in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Does it come flowing out? And so if it's not coming out of our mouths, there's a pretty good chance that it's not in our hearts. Isn't that how God helps us? He will regularly use an illness. He'll use a difficulty. Or he might be using this situation to give it a little squeeze and see what's in there. And if all that is coming out of my mouth are words of critique, unless you're on the same page as I am with all of this business, maybe it's because I'm not all that loving toward my brothers and sisters. Let me take you back to Tim Challey's church, if and you don't mind. They offered up a pastoral prayer, something that really is not very regularly done these days. And honestly, I don't know how scripted they are these days, which indicates a pastor can pray just fine without a script. But there's something to be said, and it communicates, I think, to the audience, the congregation, that this is a man who took the time to think these things through. Here's the conclusion of the prayer, or at least pretty close because it's 4 pages long. I pray for those who strongly believe our governing authorities are in error. O God, let them express their views carefully, always remembering to honor their leaders, just as much as they fear their God. I pray for those who think our governing authorities are doing an excellent job. O God, keep them from trusting in mere men and women and help them to settle their greatest confidence on you alone. Both sides were addressed. You can maybe say, well, one was a little stronger than the other. I don't think that I'd go looking for that much trouble. But this is to identify there are two groups of people in this church. Oh, God, keep them from trusting in mere men and women. I pray for all those lost in the middle, those who have a hard time knowing what is best and what is folly. Oh, God, help them to rest on you like a weaned child on her mother's lap. If matters seem too complex to them, give them the faith of a child in you. You welcome all who come in humility and weakness. The 7:38:55 rule, yeah, ma'am. But the point is taken. How we communicate, how we speak, how we talk, how we text. There can be things that we can do to enhance them, to make our words more persuasive and winsome. And I don't need that from a professor. I get that from the Bible. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Approximately 500 school systems around the country have partnered with a company named Nimble to screen potential teacher candidates for an appropriate level of wokeness. The official story says that the districts are searching for teachers with a high cultural competency. Basically translated, that means that they want teachers that are anti-racist and are accepting of the LGBT ideology. Parents, now more than ever, you should be investigating homeschooling your children as a legitimate option. Public education is nothing more than far-left indoctrination, and it's getting worse and worse by the day. Well, here's a warm and fuzzy story for you. Okay, not really. Vice President Kamala Harris recently claimed in an interview that women will die if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade next year. Abortion is not health care. It is not a constitutional right. Abortion is genocide. It's needless murder of innocent babies, and I pray SCOTUS will agree. Okay, so do you remember a couple of years ago when Black Lives Matter founders claimed that they were trained Marxists? Well, it's happening again, this time with New York University faculty member Kate Gabriel, who's happy to make the admission on his, not her, own.
Why does this immediately matter to trans people? Well, what do trans people in our particularity have to say or to offer that expands the universalism of a communist society? It require the abolition of society as it currently is.
So the transgender issue is part of a larger effort to bring about communism. We've seen it very clearly for a very long time, but no one really expected them to say it out loud themselves. And listen, don't write this off, because when radicals tell you their plan, believe them. Okay, so I admit, I've been hiding under a rock, because I had absolutely no idea Dr. Oz was running for Pennsylvania Senate.
As a doctor, I appreciate the sanctity of life. And for that reason, I'm strongly pro-life.
And when does that life begin?
I believe it begins when you're in the mother's womb.
That carries you all the way up to 9 months of pregnancy.
You catch it? He says he's pro-life, but he's unwilling to say when he thinks life begins. And there's a reason he won't say it. Because as recently as 2019, he was on the other side of the debate. Pro-life, he's probably not. Pro-politics, pro-getting elected, that's likely what he is. And a Chinese couple has lost an appeal against a 7-year prison sentence for selling Christian literature. Open Doors says this is not the first case of Chinese booksellers being given jail time in the country. The country has ramped its persecution efforts against Christians this year. And as we tell you nearly every day here at Wretched, please make sure you are fervently praying for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio, straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Because God's people disobeyed, he sent them into exile. The book of Ezra tells us of Israel's return under Ezra's leadership and preaching, and how Israel underwent a period of intense reformation. When you experience divine chastisement, look to Ezra to see that God's discipline is meant for your restoration and reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friedman.
Be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. You be the judge. Oh, this is going to be a fascinating round of which story is most distressing. That's right. which one of the myriad of articles I am going to present for your consideration wins the award of being the most distressing, as always, representing the tens and tens of people listening to this here wretched radio program. Jimmy, are you up to the task of being the federal head and deciding which story is most distressing?
Absolutely.
Story number one. Starting out with a bang here, Friel. The Scottish police said that they would... I honestly wish I were making this up. Let's hope that it's a ruse, but it doesn't appear to be because J.K. Rowling commented on it, so it must be true. Police in Scotland said that they would log rapes as being carried out by a woman if the accused person insists that they are male, even though they're female. Even if they've not legally changed gender, which you can never do. But they're now saying, so if you get raped, but the fellow who rapes you identifies as a woman, that's how they're going to log it. Can we just get any more bizarre? And that's why I chose the word distressing. We should be looking at, it's like, this is really troubling for a lot of practical reasons. This means that women are less safe. This means that our world's thinking is so untethered from biblical reality. There's a piece of legislation that is being proposed to make it easier for people to self-identify as whichever sex they want. The Scottish government wants to remove medical checks for those seeking a gender recognition certificate and shorten the time people have to live as their new gender before it's legally recognized. So you can be rather whimsical about your gender. Maybe. I wonder what the rule will be. You can only change genders 4 times a day. No, that's exclusionary because there are some people who change every hour. So you get 24. But what if there's somebody who ends up needing 48? How long is it? Tell me, doctors, where do you get the information that tells me, once you've determined your gender is this, how many minutes, hours, days do I need for it to be so? This is grievous. Police Scotland requires no evidence or certification as proof of biological sex or gender identity other than a person's self-declaration, unless it is pertinent to any investigation, which they're linked. What does it matter? If I say it, that makes it so. That's article number one, Jimmy. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Which one is most grievous? Scotland. There was a little bit of good news, if you recall, out of Scotland. The courts decided that the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, which had their events canceled, were done wrong, and they were paid $26,000. I'm sure the expense of the advance work that was put into it and the canceling was more, but at least it was the Scottish government giving a hat tip to freedom of religion. Story number two, which one is most grievous? Billie Eilish. You may or may not be familiar with the name. She's all the rage, a young lady who is a singer. And, you know, I have to say this, Jimmy. You're a Billie Eilish fan?
No. It's Billie Eilish. I just wanted to correct you.
No. See, this is the problem.
I'm a radio guy.
Billy's confused.
She's confused. Yeah. Okay.
In this case, the I is silent. Okay, look, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I don't know much about the young lady. I did see her singing once. She seems to be a little bit on the moody side, but she does have a set of pipes. Hmm. So, she seems to be one of those people who doesn't need as much auto-tuning. So Billie Eilish. Jimmy, what's talk radio rule number one?
The host is always right.
That's right. So Billie Eilish was on the Howard Stern program. No, didn't listen to that either. I'm taking this from theblast.com. Quote, as a woman, I think porn is a disgrace. I used to watch a lot of porn, to be honest. I started watching porn when I was like 11. I think it really destroyed my brain, and I feel incredibly devastated that I was exposed to so much porn. This is grievous. This is disturbing. This is sad. This is a young woman who is, I believe, been described as being rather angsty, rather emotive. She's been violated. She's been, and I know that if you're a clinical psychologist, you would say, no, that doesn't fit underneath the descriptors of PTSD. Well, I'm not sure that anybody's got the market cornered, but I do know that there can be many traumatic events in addition to war. It could be a violation of your person. Jordan Peterson would say it could be a really emotional breakup because it's traumatic and it affects you. I think porn is the same thing. I think it assaults the brain. I think it assaults the eyes. We are not made to view these things, even a little bit. And this young lady, I think, has paid the price for that. I'm so angry, she said, that porn is so loved. And I'm so angry at myself for thinking that it was okay. There are some details that are rather salty that I wouldn't share. But I do believe that we hear from her, a woman who has experienced how bad physical intimacy is because your brain is trained from viewing pornography. That's not what intimacy is. And so she experienced a lot of bad things because she thought what she saw on her iPhone was normative. That's what porn does. It distorts what is beautiful. Jimmy, that's story number two. Okay. You got it?
Yeah.
I've got issues here. Well, I mean, in addition to the other issues that I've normally got. Story number three. I wish you could see this. The UN has a new sculpture. And there are people who are going, you know, that sculpture that was given as a gift from Mexico to the United Nations, which has two children, they look like pretty typical kids, looking up almost in awe, not of Moses, not of George Washington, or Boutros Ghali, what, no world leader. No, it's like this weird, winged, horned, creepy, scary, satanic-looking thing. People going, you know, that looks a lot like what we read about in Daniel and Revelation. We haven't heard that the UN will be taking it down. I wish you could see it. It is as dark as it can possibly be. And they are displaying it proudly at the UN. That's story number three, Jimmy. Which one is most disturbing? Speaking of statues, close anyway. An Idaho Methodist church is replacing a Robert E. Lee stained glass window with the first black female UMC bishop wearing rainbow colors. There's really nothing about this story to like, is there? Because a woman who happens to be the bishop, especially with rainbow colors, on a stained glass window in the church, you don't need to be Presbyterian to go, that ain't right. That's not an image that should be in the church. But at the same time, what was Robert E. Lee doing up there in the first place? This was in Boise, Idaho. I don't know what moved them in the 60s to put up this statue, or this stained glass, rather, of Robert E. Lee. My issue is not that whether he was a good general, a bad general, good cause, bad cause. What is a general doing up in a church stained glass window in the first place? The United Methodist Church. Showing signs, it's Paul Simoning, very, very quickly. Story number five. Now, Jimmy, this one is going to be a little bit tricky, so
okay,
pay attention is what I'm saying.
Okay.
The president of Guatemala, who's Roman Catholic, declares his country will become Latin America's pro-life capital. You say, well, that's a good thing. However, the detail is the president announced his intention to make Guatemala Latin America's most pro-life city. It was at Washington, D.C., at a Women's Institute speech. Why? Because Guatemala was not invited to President Joe Biden's democracy summit, where leaders from the world's democracies gathered. A fellow who's the president of the International Human Rights Group said, this is probably connected to the fact that Guatemala is so pro-life. Not invited to this. So much for inclusion and diversity. Another example. It's a one-way street. As long as you say what we tell you to say, maybe you can play. But if you don't, diversity stops there. That's story number five.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Your federal head's verdict next on Wretched Radio. Here are three words that can strike terror in the heart of any Christian. Open Enrollment Month. The three words that can make you shudder if you have to renew or find a new health insurance program. Did you know every month is an open enrollment month with MediShare? Affordable biblical health care sharing, a huge savings per family, on average $500 per month. You have access to a massive doctor network and MediShare's free 24/7 telehealth option. It shouldn't be a surprise that MediShare's double the customer satisfaction ratings compared with typical health insurance. So instead of experiencing the terrors this year, how's about getting in touch with MediShare? You can do that by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE, or visit MediShare.com/wretched.
It seems like everywhere you look, you find a survey about something these days. And of course, Wretched, we didn't want to miss out on this trend, so we conducted our own survey. Actually, I just asked a couple of people across the hall, but here are the results. When asked, what's your favorite part of Christmas? 100% of respondents said, celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no reason for Christmas. Without Christ, there's no reason for Wretched. We realize we can't do any of this without you. It wouldn't be possible to produce the content and resources that we do without the support of our gospel partners. During this time of year where we should all reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, would you prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner and help us to continue reaching the lost all over the world? Just visit wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate, or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families that Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did we say disturbing or distressing? This is Wretched Radio. You be the judge. Which story is most distressing for the Christian? We have heard a number of them thus far, but the competitors are many. Scottish police. This is just unbelievably. Just. If a woman is raped by a man who identifies as a woman, then the woman was actually raped by a woman. Because that's how the Scottish police will identify you when they take your fingerprints. Billie Eilish, okay. Watching porn from the age of 11. Now she hates it. She's angry that she was exposed to it. And she is just one of millions and millions of adults who were exposed to images as children that they should have never seen. I can't tell you the number of emails that I receive on this subject. And frighteningly, for some reason, more women. Was having a conversation with Dr. Dale Johnson from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. He was in studio last week, the week before, and we were talking about the scourge of pornography in the church. He counsels men and women on whatever struggle they're having, sin struggle, emotional issue. And he said, porn with fellas, he said, it's just constant. But the increasing number of women who are seeking out counseling for their porn addiction. Billie Eilish, I just did that as a courtesy,
okay,
Jimmy, just to keep you in the game here. Story number three, a UN sculpture pretty much looks like the beast from Daniel in Revelation. Number four, a Methodist church in Idaho removing a stained glass window of Robert E. Lee to replace it with a rainbow flag wearing female UMC bishop. That's a double. Guatemala's president, he's declaring America, or declaring that his country will be Latin America's pro-life capital. That's good. The reason that we know about this is because he wasn't invited with all of the other democracies of the world to a President Joe Biden democracy summit. Pro-life people, apparently, aren't as welcome at the diversity summit. That's story number five, Jimmy. You keeping track of this deal?
I am.
Story number six. Twitter's new CEO doesn't really care too much about the First Amendment. Quote, our role is not to be bound by the First Amendment. Hey, that sounds hopeful for Christians, doesn't it? Parag Agrawal, sorry, raised in India, graduated from the Indian Institute of Technology in Bombay, came to the United States of America in 2020. I don't know why this is being revealed now. Quote, he said, oh, it's because he's the president now. Our role is not to be bound by the First Amendment. Cool. What are the implications for that? Your Twitters, the screws are being tightened right now. If you say anything about COVID, if you say anything about anything that you disagree with the public narrative, the predominant narrative, or at least the one that comes out of the MSM, they just kick you off. We're seeing it in action. If Twitter does not honor the laws of this country, then what does it honor? And who is this guy? Asked the author of this article. He's a guy that represents the interests of people who don't want free speech. You shut down free speech, liberty goes flying out of the nation's windows, which hopefully aren't stained glass statues of rainbow flag wearing female bishops of the United Methodist Church. Jimmy, that's story number six.
Yes, it is.
Keeping track?
I am.
Story number seven. They never end. Don't know if you've heard, but Texas got a little pro-life skirmish going on. It's a battle there. So far, so good from the Supreme Court. I believe the Mississippi ruling that's expected in 2022 also might even be a bigger deal because it could strike at Roe v. Wade. And I read something rather interesting last night. Somebody wrote an article about whether or not abortion should be a state's right issue. Here's a question for you. If that maybe strikes your ear because it's like, yeah, that's better than the federal government mandating in through the Supreme Court, you know, the legal branch of our government. If they mandate it from nationwide, then the whole nation can allow abortion. So bring it to the states and let the states tussle it out. My question is, and this is just food for thought because this gets into political territory of which I am not well versed, but would we say that about murder, embezzlement, rape, child abuse? Wouldn't we want the federal government saying, no, states? Wouldn't we want it that flipped? Because it seems to me, if it does go to the states, and I think we'll all be grateful for that, that's a 180, but it's not a 360. It's not a total about face. Because now we've got 50 battles that need to be fought. As opposed to the government saying the opposite of what they've been saying. If we have been really not digging the federal position on the subject of abortion, wouldn't we really prefer it if the federal government were anti-abortion? We'll see how it plays out. Nevertheless, in Texas, the lawsuit is going on, and there that was upheld, or it was struck down by the Supreme Court, that the heartbeat law can continue in Texas. But now the Satanic Temple has filed a lawsuit claiming that this law violates their religious freedom to abortion rituals. Oof. How dark is that? That's story number 7, right, Jimmy? Story number 7?
Yep, that's it.
I'm doing my man.
You're good.
Yeah, that's part of their... it's a religious right. You can't violate our religious freedom, say the Satanists. Abortion is a part of our theological platform. How charming. Story number 8. Salvation Army asked the question the other day after it was revealed that one of their branches apparently wrote and started implementing a booklet titled Let's Talk About Racism, claiming that Christianity is institutionally racist. They got tagged on it. The story went all over the internet, of course, and I was pondering, I wonder how they're doing with the bell ringing this year. It would appear, not surprisingly, it's way down. The situation is dire, says the Salvation Army. They're facing holiday toy shortages after telling white donors to face their racism. Now we know what's going on. The nonprofit reports it gets 75% of total annual donations during November and December. This hit just a couple of two, three weeks ago. I wouldn't be shocked if they aren't hurting a lot. Do they do good work? Yeah, they do. I don't know how Christian it is. I really don't. I know it's got the word salvation in it. I know they have a lot of programs to help people get on their feet, etc. That's a good work. I just don't know how salvation-centered they actually are. If this particular branch is any indication, well, that's distressing. Or is it disturbing? Which one are we? Can you remember?
Distressing. Distressing.
Are you sure? Distressing?
Yes, right. Yes.
Story number 9. New York, New York. It's a wonderful town. If you've got a vaccine passport, starting December 27th, people are required vaccine proof for indoor dining, fitness, and entertainment for children 5 to 11. And so it is. We see what's been going on in Australia. I think a bit in Canada. It's hard to imagine that there aren't at least a couple dozen states in America that would go, no, not going to happen here, but that would be 28 that might. And if you're living in that state, this might be very distressing for you. All right, Jimmy, hold on. Got to do the sound
judge.
Effect.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
All right, Jimmy, which story is the most disturbing, distressing?
This is hard. It really is a hard decision.
Well, I worked hard on this.
I know you did. I know you did. And if I have to pick just one, I'm probably going to go with Billie Eilish.
Oh, because it's just the word distressing.
Yeah. It's just a sad story. But it's a picture of, I think, a large number of people.
Oh, I think we've got walking wounded all over the place because of pornography.
Yeah.
It's a scourge. And might I just do a shout out, dear pastor, if you never use that word because you think it's too here's the reality. Most, not all, but most churches, most of the men are dealing with it, and an increasing number of women are dealing with it. And it is a kindness to them to say, we've got you. We're going to help you get out of this entangled sin that you've been living in. We're going to wash you from this cesspool. provide book Dr. John Street, Passions of the Heart, many other good resources these days to deal with the subject of pornography, which distressingly is the evangelical church's scourge. Until tomorrow, Jimmy, I didn't drool once. Go serve your king.